Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. Politically Enraged is a podcast purpose-built to discuss British and international disunity in political spaces, talk through ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and fight back against authoritarianism. My name is David Moo, I'm your host, and I hope you'll stick with us. Follow our Twitter at Political Rages, find us on Instagram and Ko-fi at Politically Enraged, and let's speak truth to power. Hello and welcome to another episode of Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. Today is a bit of an interesting episode. It's the day after the Sue Gray report dropped and the day after we watched a Prime Minister veer wildly from supposed humble apologies to making jokes about Keir Starmer's name and that of the old opposition leader too, because apparently contrition comes with a side of sarcasm. The Sue Gray report laid out the systemic failures in leadership that have taken place at No. 10 Downing Street throughout the pandemic, although I do question about the longer reaching effects of something as terrible as a government that parties while people die en masse. And Boris Johnson's speech and the copy-paste apologies from his MPs all over Twitter yesterday underscore the fact that we are currently under a government that is more bothered about silencing people than fulfilling the will of them. Most troubling of all, it seems that people are under the impression that this is the governance that we have to accept. Now, I've covered this before in depth, but there's something that I want to get into very specifically, and that's the fact, the very simple, the very clear fact, that there are more decent people in this country than there are Conservatives. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are some lovely Conservative voters out there, but at this point, standing behind this government means that at some point down the line, somewhere down this line on this road, you have been radicalised. And I don't know how to help those people, but what I do know is that I have to shore up people on our side, because it's very dejecting to face what we have to face every single day. And I feel like people on our side of politics need all the support that they can get right now. We are shown all the time how disproportionate our voting system is. If you look at what happened in 2019, 44% of people went to the voting booths and voted for Tories. 44% of the country is not an insignificant amount of people. 44% of voting people that voted for Tories isn't actually as much as you think. And when you think about that, that means 66% of the country didn't vote for them. And yet somehow they sit in Parliament with an over 300 seat majority. Now, I'm no mathematical expert. In fact, I fit the gay stereotype of being absolutely horrendous at maths. But what I do know is that when 44% of voting people ask for a party, that's actually less than half. And so that party shouldn't have a huge supremacy. And they do. If you look at what happened the other day in Parliament, it underscores just how undemocratic the system is that we have in place. So 44% of votes equals over 300 seats, which equals a massive majority. And the government shut down, as a man, a vote for a windfall tax. Something they've now U-turned on, specifically because voting for it covers them against talking about Partygate, because they're doing things to help people, right? That's the only reason that they U-turned on it. But think about the essence of how undemocratic that is. They turned round as a body and said, nope, no windfall tax. And it was completely destroyed, because all of them voted against it. Now, it's not the first time that we've had a majority government in place like that. Funnily enough, Tony Blair's government was similar. It was an unexpected shock when Tony Blair's government absolutely stormed their election. But they built everything, as the Tories have done, on hope. And Tony Blair's government initially did a fairly decent job of making people's lives better. If you look at the rise in food banks since his government dropped out of power, it's terrifying. And the thing is, I think the Conservatives learned to capitalise on that kind of politics. They learned to talk about hope and how they could make things better. But instead of talking truthfully about it, about how they could make the country actually function better with the things that they had in the place that we were, they just demonised people and said, it's them that make it worse and we need to get rid of them, and when we do, your lives will be better. It was the EU, and it was the nasty foreigners coming to steal our jobs, and it was the unelected people in Brussels. Now it's the nasty trans people. It was the people of colour when all of the BLM protests happened. Every single time they make enemies of people and say we have to defeat them and then your lives will be better. I've said this before. They are the people who decide how our lives are. They are the people in charge of the public coin purse. And they have, for lack of a better word, raped it. I don't like using that word lightly, but that's what this government has done. They have taken, at every single juncture, the opportunity to take from the British public unashamedly. And the British public, a significant portion of them, allow them to do that because they think that that's how politics works. But it isn't. They talk about the country being in debt. Every single country is in debt. And money is created from the promise of money existing. Just going and inquiring about a mortgage creates money in the system. Not even doing it, just asking about it. It's a very complicated system. I don't have time to get into it. And as I said, I'm no mathematician, so there's no point in me sitting here and lecturing you about things that I lose the thread of after a certain amount of time. But the point is, the government knows full well that they could take much better care of us than they do. But they also know that it's easier to turn everyone against each other and to pretend that they are a massive majority. And when you have media journals on the same side, you can make that seem like it's true. Because if the Daily Mail and the Sun and the Telegraph are all saying, it's not the government that's doing a bad job, it's these nasty people coming from abroad and these pronoun users, it's them, they're the ones that are making your life harder because we're having to spend money on schemes and things like that. Suddenly, if you don't know what goes on behind the scenes, that seems convincing. That is not what happens. For the longest time, over 50% of UK voters have not voted for a Conservative government. We haven't wanted them. We don't like their governance. But they keep getting in based on a skewed voting system. One of the most important things that we can look at in the run-up to the next election is talking about tactical voting. Because if you can make people vote tactically, you can unseat an undemocratic government. It's not always fair. It means voting for people you may not want. But it works, unfortunately, in the system that we have. The longest term goal that I have set, and that I think all of us, every single person that's interested in politics right now should set, is to bring in proportional representation. There are so many people that do not get their voices heard in politics. Now, I'm not just talking about the people who are really invested in politics right now, but I know that you may be listening. People that are even further left than me, people that are openly socialist, people that really want to look at socialism as a valid option of governance. I don't know enough about it. I've said this before. I'm not purposely being ignorant. My friend tells me that she's pretty convinced that I am socialist, but I don't know enough about that system of governance to say that I agree with it. I do think there's certain things about a socialist system or fragments of it that would be amazing. But what I do know is that this system, the system that we're in right now, does not work. It does not work for the majority. It works for a minority, but not minorities. That's all I've got to say about this system that we're in now. It's broken in a fundamental way. Committing to proportional representation is one of the most important things that we can ask for from whoever we're going to elect next. Hopefully not the Tories. If we got proportional representation done, it would mean that we had a government that had to work together for the broadest will of the people. If we had it so that parties had to cooperate, had to discuss, and the majority of elected governments were people that we really believed in, people that liked our politics, the actual majority's politics, we would have the governance that we've always wanted. Whereas now, as I keep saying, 44% of voters voted in an over 300-seat majority of further right politics than most of the country even believes in. And the confusing thing when you've got the media on side is that it's so easy to platform people that don't agree with your views, but to tell everyone that they're the ones that are being cancelled and silenced and that this is the real majority and the reason you don't hear it more is because the papers aren't on our side. But that's not the truth, is it? I have to get up every single day and read headlines or bylines or articles posted all over the internet from these poor, silent, cancelled people like trans-exclusive radical feminists. They are everywhere telling you that they're silenced and cancelled and they're not allowed to have their beliefs. When's the last time that you read an article in a mainstream piece of media that was written by a trans person that doesn't agree with what gender critical people say. And of course they'll say, well, they're half of the majority, they've had enough time to speak. But ask yourself that question. When's the last time you read a piece written by a transgender person in a mainstream piece? Like the Daily Mail, like the Guardian, like the Independent, like the iPaper. So many people will speak over the others and try and tell you that their opinion's the majority, that they're the ones that are right, that their opinions are silenced and cancelled and held back and they're not allowed to have them. Funny that, because it seems to me that Ricky Gervais has just released another comedy special where he specifically pokes fun at transgender people. But this goes further. Culture wars are part of the Tory tactic, and anyone that engages in a meaningful way in them is, and I hate to say it because I hate this phrase, but Tory enabling. When we give in to these culture wars, we take our eyes off the prize. When people are arguing with each other about who uses what bathroom or whether we should be tearing down statues, we aren't looking at the columns of governance that propped up this country once that are very, very quickly eroding under this government that we have right now. And that's where we're failing. The biggest problem that we have is that the usual system of checks and balances in this country has always been insane, but has largely been untainted until now. The election of Boris Johnson and this government is the reason that we find ourselves in such dire straits, because we're in what our forefathers and mothers and whoever else thought was an unprecedented situation. For the longest time, it was considered that only decent people would be politicians and MPs and the Prime Minister. And that's not the case anymore. Again, I don't hate all Tory voters. I understand that, you know, there's radicalisation in there, there's pressure to vote the way that your family votes, and all of these things. I understand that. But the actual MPs and the Prime Minister that are in place right now are objectively bad people. Priti Patel has created a scheme that will send people to what could be their death or torture with the Rwanda scheme. Nadine Dorries has betrayed 96% of surveyed people who said they didn't want Channel 4 to be privatised. Dominic Raab wants to strip back the Human Rights Act to something that the Tories agree with, the government that decided they didn't want lockdowns to last for long enough to actually curb the coronavirus pandemic because they wanted the economy to look good. These are the people that are in charge of our governance right now. And the issue is, because this is so new, because this is the first government that's really tried to meddle with the pillars of accountability in this country, we don't know what to do. But we have flailed long enough. I've mentioned before on this very channel that I don't think it's right that the left just constantly infights. Now, I'm never going to sort out all of the issues that are going on the left. I just can't. I can't do it. But I just want people that are aligned to the left spectrum of politics to hear this very clearly. You are never going to get any closer to the government that you want if you don't start working actively against this one. And I understand how frustrating it is to have to put your vote where you don't want it and to vote for someone that you think is lackluster, is milquetoast, is a traitor, is bad. But nobody is worse than the government that is in place right now. Yesterday on a Twitter Spaces, I spoke to someone who is from Ireland and who explained to us that the UK government right now are doing the exact same things to us that were done to people that were disaffected in Ireland before. Taking away rights to protest, meddling with what was being said in the media, demonising people for trying to look out for their own rights and safety. These are the things that are happening in a very real way right now. And if you know about the historic struggles in Ireland, you will know how terrifying it is that we are emulating that here in England right now. We have to fight back against this government, and it means that a lot of us are going to have to do stuff we don't want to do. The most annoying thing that I spoke at length with one of my friends, Dr. Maria Norris, about is that it's always people like me and her who are further left. I'm not super far left, but I'm further left. It's always us that are asked to sacrifice. And it's shit, because we shouldn't have to. Our system of governance is objectively better for more people than this one. But we are always the ones who are asked to sacrifice. And I don't think that's right. And you can agree or disagree, that's fine, that's your prerogative. But That's where I stand with it. Us always being asked to compromise is not fair. It's understandable, it's not fair. But what needs to happen is that the left must come together in the same way that the right is. We have to smoothen our jagged differences on the left and come together and realise that unless we work together as a conglomerate, as a group of people with different ideas, different values, different thoughts, unless we all compromise and we all become involved in this decision making as to how we deal with this government, we are going to be in serious danger. We're already under what is objectively an authoritarian government. We are not allowed to protest functionally. If they suspect you of protest, they're allowed to put binding orders on you now because nobody stood up against them about that. It's harder to vote because they've mandated ID, and I've spoken about this. 2.5 to 3 million people will be disenfranchised from voting. Think how many people that is, and especially when you're referring to the fact that only, 20 million people vote. That's a significant portion of people. And those people are normally poorer, which means they're the ones that need the help of the government most, and they're having their voices silenced in regards to who they want to be in charge. The ultimate and overarching point is that there are so many people on the left who believe in better, kinder, more straightforward, more logical politics than this. But every single day we wake up to a poisoned well of media that tells us that this is who we are, that this is what we deserve. And it's wrong. And it's so far past time that people wake up to that. We deserve the truth. And we are not getting it. And I'm not trying to sound like some media conspiracist here, but it is objectively the truth. If you look at the stats, there are so many more people that believe in a better politic than we have. But we don't get heard. Because the media that exists in this country, that is mainstream, that is platformed, that is polished and precise, and you can find it on the shelves, that media tells you differently. And that media platforms the voices of people like Nadine Dorries, or Boris Johnson, or Rishi Sunak, or it will platform people like the salmon guy who voted proudly for Brexit because he said that it's what we needed to do. And then almost immediately when Brexit tariffs hit him, levied the government for money back. These are the people that we're allowing to dictate our governance because that's what we have always done. This is the biggest problem with British politics right now. We're still in this phase of, well, this is how we've always done it, and we shouldn't ever rely on that. We should never go with, that's how we've always done it, because it might be, but it's also not worked for us for a very long time. The fact is, British politics needs modernising, and I think it's very hard to argue against that point. There's a complete lack of accountability for a government that has objectively broken the law. Through a deadly pandemic where people were dying in droves in the thousands, our government was partying. They were drinking, having birthday parties. I didn't have a leave-in due when I left my last job. I haven't had a birthday party in years, mostly because I'm 34 and not a child, but this is the stuff that they were doing behind our backs. And that's not a government that we can trust. And they will tell us, well, you know, we can't get rid of Mr. Johnson because he's leading the way with regards to what's happening over in Ukraine. But do we really want a liar in charge to handle a war? I certainly don't, because God knows what he's keeping from the British people. When it comes down to the way that our governance works, it's lackluster in so many different ways. But the fact that we can't hold these people accountable is the worst. There's a lot of things that we need to change. A lot of people say that we need a written constitution. I don't disagree. I think that it needs a very careful implementation. Any government that's in power that oversees something like that would bias it to their benefit, which is why I think that should only be done, it should only be looked at after we have proportional representation, because we need a system in place that holds the government to account by the people. We don't have that right now. But that's another point I want to make. How do we now today, how do we hold this government to account? So far, nothing has worked. We've tried protesting. They're trying to take that away from us. We've tried petitions. They ignore them. We've tried to appeal to their humanity. They seem to have a suspicious and almost frightening lack of it. They double down over and over and over again on their shameless points. Michael Fabricant saying that doctors and nurses did the same thing when doctors and nurses witnessed the most abject horror in their jobs throughout the pandemic. They cannot be made to feel contrition because they don't feel contrition. We have to figure out a way now, not down the line, but now, to hold these people to some semblance of account. We have to do it. There is no if and or but. 59% of people, possibly more, want Boris Johnson to no longer be Prime Minister. And this is the government that constantly tells us that they abide by the will of the people. 52% of people wanted Brexit done. That was an insurmountable majority and it had to be done no matter what. Well, 59% of people, probably more, want Boris Johnson to go. They don't want him in power anymore. So why is it not being done? Because this is not the government that serves the will of the people. This is the government that serves the will of themselves. That does not work. This is not a government model that works. I often ask people who are on the other side of the political spectrum to me, what have they tangibly done that you like? And it always comes down to, he got Brexit done. Brexit is not done. They are still arguing about the Northern Ireland Protocol and the Good Friday Agreement. And if they breach that, we are looking at civil unrest again. This government has taken us to such a low ebb of democracy that Scotland want to leave, Ireland want to reunify, and Wales are even talking about a referendum. This is the government that has sundered the United Kingdom. We are not united, we are disunited. And we are disunited because we continue to allow a petulant government to sit in office. None of us really want them there, and the people that do want them there are often people that just don't understand that we can and will have better governance if we just talk about it. The problem is there's a suspicious lack of political literacy in this country because it serves them well for people to think all politicians are the same or that this is the system of governance that we just have to have because it can't get any better. But I need people to hear me that think that we can have better. We can have a better government. We can have better governance in this country. We just have to fight for it. And I know it's scary. And I know that no one wants to be the person to cast the first stone. I don't know how to do it. You know, I'm 34 and I got pushed into talking about politics because I was so fed up of the way that we're treated. Now is the time that I'm going to say it out loud. We have to rise up. We have to take back our democracy from these people. They've besmirched everything that we are as people. We're a laughingstock on the world stage because of this government. Liz Truss made Russia more willing to use nuclear warheads. Boris Johnson has embarrassed us over and over and over again on the world stage. Dominic Raab couldn't be asked to stay in the office and went on holiday during an unprecedented time of unrest during Afghanistan, which led to the Taliban taking over. These people do not serve us well. They are poor at their jobs. And it is far past time that we, as a peoples of this island, come together and take back what we are and who we are from these people that have pushed us out. They tell us every single day that we get to have our say at the voting box, and that's not true. I've just explained to you how undemocratic our voting system is. They lie to you because they think that you'll believe it, but you don't, and I don't. We can do better than this, but this government isn't afraid of its people anymore, and it's time that they were, because we deserve much more than they have ever been able to give us. They are lackluster. And it's far past time that we stand up and we say to them, as a group of people, we refuse to be governed by you anymore. Thanks for listening to Politically Enraged, a podcast designed to discuss politics palatably. If you're interested in following us on social media, you can find me at Davey Moo pretty much everywhere. And you can also find us on Instagram at Politically Enraged, where you can see the blog. You can find us on Ko-fi in case you'd like to caffeinate me. And you can find us on Twitter at Political Rages. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, stay politically engaged and get politically enraged. Because remember, we deserve better.